up to Packers Folly. That was the guy, what did he use?
He tried to do a steam mill up there. He was,
That's a hell of a dam up there, you know.
Parker's Folly, yeah.
I mean, do you see that wall up there that made that dam? You know, I'd be scared of death because I worked up there last summer. I had to relay the sewer line down from Mrs. Cleaning's and Mrs. Nason's house and bring it across that dam. They'd done it years ago. And you had kids and you...
About the 40s. Except that, when did you see Westboro start to change? Now, Iandoli's, you said, went in?
Well, in 46, you could see. I remember telling you about the water department. They started laying the water mains out to different sections, and they was starting to get out there, and they started, you know, homes being built and development.
This would be out, way out,
going out East Main Street and stuff like that.
So that the developments
they had the capacity then to get the water out there after they started putting the high-pressure system in. Then before they couldn't get it way out, you know, up to over Yulman's Hill and stuff like that. But then you started seeing all those developments start coming in, you know, out that way.
So that was, they first come out East Main, they start develop, or out by McTaggart's and West Main?
East Main was first, I think they started to build them a little first before they started out West Main. Because Todd and Dodd did that at McTaggart's. That was Walter McTaggart's Orchard, they built that development.
When was that? That went in?
That started in the
50s?
Just the early 50s that started.
Okay. And off of East Main, you're talking about what houses? Just all the houses that...
They started individual houses, and they started that development one up back of Brady's. You know, they call it Brady's development. You know, Hillcrest and Crestview
I know there were only a few houses out there.
And they started down back of Stories. He started building Stories off of Walker Street there. And, you know, Story Drive and Doherty Drive. And then they started building houses up Smith Street.
Okay.
So
the town then began to grow, right?
Yeah.
After the war.
I can remember. I'm going to shut that off for a minute.
So in the 50s, it began growing, and houses were, the expensive ones were
$25,000 house then was really, it was comparable to $150,000, $200,000 house now.
Now, things began to be built. Iandoli's was the first kind of shop, outside
shopping
center. The post office was moved. Went down there about then?
Yeah.
Same time?
They're looking for a new post office now, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Well, his lease is up. They're looking for a place to get out of there.
You knew the post office was originally in the recreation building, Bay State Recreation Building.
I thought it was down by
kids.
Hickox building, too.
Then it was in Hickox.
They built that.
They built the Hickox building.
Is the Bay State Recreation Building the Keating Building?
Yes.
Keating Block.
That's where the post office was.
What were odd fellows?
It was an organization.
It's not going on anymore, is it?
Yeah, they have odd fellows.
Okay.
If you ever look at that, Chris, when you see that, it's three links all. That was their emblem. It was three links together.
Oh,
like
right.
Three links in a chain.
Yeah.
When you look up on that building, you'll see the three links.
And that's an odd fellow sign?
That insignia. That was actually that building for it. But the post office was there when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then they built Dorothy Hickox, and of course it went up on Summer Street up where...
Oh, yeah, Summer
Wait,
Street.
Wait, Hickox first and then Summer Street?
Yep.
Yeah,
Hickox
Summer Street
was
where the telephone building is.
Next to the telephone building.
Yeah, almost the corner of Summer
Street. What's the name? Ken Sutton.
Is there a building that's still there that's supposed to?
Ken Sutton has a building there that was a post office. I think maybe a doctor's in there now. It's on the right-hand side, right in the corner of Winter and Summer Street.
Mm.
Okay, and then it went down to?
Then it went down to East Main Street.
Right. So it wasn't in the Hickox place too long, was it?
Well,
10 years?
That was
during
the
50s. It was there.
That was built in the 30s. Hickox.
Yeah, but that post office was still. No, I guess it moved up to Summer Street in the 50s.
Okay. Now let's see. What else changed?
Yeah, it was up there in the 50s.
Yeah.
53 is the biggest memory is the tornado.
Oh, the tornado.
And tell me what you remember about the tornado coming.
That's easy. We were here. I was here. Ray's elderly aunt, because lived here, that's who we bought the house from, and this Frank Battle that owned that beautiful estate up there, this was her husband. Second marriage, of course. But she was here with me,
Were you told that a tornado was coming?
No, there was no, my sister, you know George Lightbody that works in the town hall, there's no account? Well, he's married to my sister. And George and Marge were living out in the little house out here at the time. And they had one son,
I gotta show Chris that out there.
My kids were born in 1949, 1950. All right. So the hurricane, I mean, the tornado was in 53.
And
so they were, what,
kids?
You know,
three and four years old.
So my sister had a three-year-old son. My mother and father were living up on Church Street at the time. And this particular afternoon, my sister said to me, she said, how about me taking Kathy and Kevin with Mac to go for a walk up to Mars? And I said, sure. So she left, and I was out in the backyard. And of course, we had toys, all, you know, swings, everything. And along about mid-afternoon, I got the funniest feeling. You know, you know when there's a thunder shower coming, but this particular afternoon was different. It was just something about it that was different. And I don't know why, but I went over and I secured her house, the windows and mm-hmm. everything. I took all of the toys out of the yard and put them in the cellar. Don't ask me why, I couldn't tell you. But I just secured everything. And then I'm beginning to get nervous because they're not home yet.
Is it a kind of dark
it
and still?
It was deathly. That's the only way I can explain it. Deathly still. There wasn't a leaf. There was nothing moving. It was
nothing
just like the world had stopped.
Nothing on the radio to say
nothing.
That there was going to be
nothing. Nothing in particular about any special kind of a thunder shower. Nothing. No warning at all. But anyway, she got back. And she went in. And she brought my two kids in to play with Mark. Well, in the meantime, Ray's sister had come down and was here visiting with Ray's aunt. And then some relatives of theirs came to the front door. And just about that time that everything started. And all I can remember is this horrible roar, like a train. This just terrible roar. And I looked out the window, and the big elm trees, which are now down, were just bent right over that little house, like they were going to crush it. You know, and hailstones as big as baseballs. When we were greeting the people at the front door, we had to get them in fast so they wouldn't get clobbered with these hailstones. And as fast as it started, Chris, it was over. You know, as fast as he was on the road, an oil truck traveling from New Hampshire, he was nowhere around. Of course, we lost the power, everything. Well, of course, Ray's aunt, being elderly and always afraid of thunder showers, Ray's sister was brought up to be afraid of thunder showers.
Rain and thunder too, and
it was just
wind.
A sudden influx, like what you know now is a vicious thunder shower. Well, just magnify this, mm-hmm. all right? But the difference was that it was so fast.
How long?
Oh,
10, 15 minutes?
Probably, or? Not much more than that. I don't know exactly, but about.
Okay.
And it was just a little bit after 5:00. And so I started out. I could see the windows starting to come in, like they were being forced in over there. And of course, my thought, get out there, get my sister and the kids in the big house. I started out the back door to get them. His sister grabbed me by the tail, because she was frightened to death. His aunt was practically hysterical. And she grabbed me. And it's a good thing she did, because just as I started out the back steps, down came the chimney. Missed me by that. If I had continued, that would have been it. But anyway, it all of a sudden it passed. Wow. I said, I didn't realize it was, you know, I looked out, branches were down, wires were down, we had no power because the streets were flooded, leaves all over the
streets
place.
Flooded why? Because of
it was just so torrential.
And
but
I said, I've got to do something to calm these people down. Well, in the meantime, his sister took off because her son was visiting somewhere down South Street. So I sat in the dining room up there in the window, calmly peeling potatoes for supper, just to try to calm down his aunt. Mm-hmm. So I sat there peeling potatoes and carrots and looking out the window. I saw these people, the Canes next door, lived down on South Street. Their place was... They ended up with a snowsuit after 10 years of marriage. Everything gone. Just
the house
gone.
Flattened.
And... the Castanieri fella, the youngest Castanieri fella, owned that house. And I looked out the window, looked up the street.
This is out
what
street?
To see people.
Main Street.
To see two people on each arm of this Martha Castanieri. Her hair was flat right down over her face and mud. And her legs were blood. Her stockings were all torn. Now, I could see this from here up to the corner.
And she had been in the house
And
w-
she
on
was
South
in the
street.
House on South Street.
Yeah,
was,
to
and they were taking her to Dr. Boyd's. But it was amazing, Chris. The thing that I couldn't get over, around here, sure, broken windows, chimneys, limbs, flooded streets, all right? About 2 hours after this thing was over, I took my kids in the carriage just to walk up the street, being very careful of the wires and what have you. Went around the corner across street, down onto South Street, and even to that point, you've got the same element. You've got wires and branches and what have you. Holy mother of God, when I got down beyond Beach Street, nothing. Nothing. Houses just completely disappeared. Nothing. And that's only, what, a couple of blocks over.
Houses flattened, trees out.
There was nothing. The houses were just completely gone.
Do you have any idea how many houses went? Well, I can look
it up. Took
Harvey's house.
Two of Harvey's house. Where Bob was living where he is now.
We had sold her a brand new gas stove when we moved. And the only thing left in that yard was that gas stove. I'll never forget it, that we sold her. There was the only thing sitting there. Everything else was gone.
Do you know what the path was in Westboro, how it came?
Yeah, down through Shrewsbury.
Yeah, and over the country club.
Came across the country club.
Yeah, and then that's when it hit the high school is now, the Aronsons, and killed those three.
Ended up down on Flanders Road.
And it went right across Ruggles Street and part of Baxter Street.
Did it hit anything on Ruggles? Take anything down?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that whole section was.
Yeah, and then it went right across part of Baxter Street. Took a couple of houses on Back Street and went right across South Street.
We were on the fringe.
Went right down through the swamp there, and then that's when it made the swing in the swamp and went up and hit in the Fayetteville center there and then dispersed.
Actually, it could have hit even worse in Westboro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it did terrible,
it took,
but
what,
it did.
It took, what,
all
it,
south and...
It took us, it took the Aronson farm, you know,
yeah.
Killed people up there.
Three people.
Four people. Was it three or four that we did up there?
Or was it two women?
No, wait, take it. Four people. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Four. It was Mrs. Aronson and the 15-year-old daughter and
two of the
brother-in-law, Charlie, and a hired hand. Four got killed there.
Were they the only people killed?
No,
Mrs. Cahill down in Flanders Road. They found her with a 50-gallon drum of range oil laying right on top.
But Chris, it was like going into a different world. I mean, we've seen the effects of hurricanes. We've been through that. And that's what it was like around here. It was like a hurricane right here.
Yeah.
But just around the corner, nothing. Leo Castagnari was up at his barber shop. Now, you'd have to know his wife, Madge, because she's a hot ticket. And I mean, she's a hot ticket. Leo always worked. All the years he had that barbershop, he walked to and from. They live on
Cedar Street.
Mm-hmm. He walked to and from work. Never closed that shop until 6 o'clock at night. It was ritual.
Mm-hmm.
This happened shortly after 5 o'clock. Madge is on Cedar Street, and because all the damage was down, and because it was her brother's house, that was one I told you about, that was gone. She walked uptown to get Leo, and she went to the barbershop, and she said, Leo, come home. And he said, why? Because he'd seen what we saw of what was going on uptown.
Bad storm, sure.
All right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he said, he figured she was kidding. She said, Leo, come home. Your brother's house is gone. Leo thought she was kidding. And of course, she, I imagine, was emotional.
Yeah, sure.
And he just thinking, oh, Madge, go home. I'll see you at 6 o'clock. Leo told me afterwards, he said, the further down South Street he walked, he said he was stunned. He thought Madge was fooling. He walked past his own street, went down, saw his brother's house, just like he'd never been there. And then in the cemeteries, oh, the damage in the cemeteries.
Oh, particularly at St. Luke's, that one, or?
Well, Pine Grove.
Pine Grove,
it took up trees, you know, and it took old caskets.
Oh, that right down in that area.
The roots come up.
It was awful.
Yeah, you could look. I was in there. I could look right in there and you could see skeletons and people and everything.
They all had to be reburied.
Oh, yeah.
They brought in the National Guard, of course, right away. You know,
I was wondering what happened. Yeah,
National
Guard came.
National law was immediately.
And what did they do? Set up?
They set up blocks.
They wouldn't let anybody in the town.
The only ones that got to see anything were the people like me that got out right away and just took a walk down it. Because after that, you couldn't get beyond a certain point.
They closed the streets.
They were looting.
Yeah, they closed off any road coming in the town. So you couldn't come up, you couldn't come up Flanders Road. Unless you had to have a very good reason or anything. Any of those streets coming in, they wouldn't let anybody in the town.
Now, what about the people that had lost their houses? What happened to them? Did they have
instance, these people over here were taken in, the Kane family, who are Westboro people, and Westboro natives, were taken in by relatives.
So they didn't set up
and
a
then they
storm center, did they, or like a...
No, I don't.
Town hall
they,
or anything?
No, the headquarters.
The fire department did.
Well, the headquarters for that, for there, but I mean, I think the Red Cross came in and set up at where the Y is now, in the
Eli Whitney
school.
Yeah, and of course the fire department people were, you know, making coffee and donuts and having all that kind of stuff. But these people and other people like them applied to the Red Cross, And they were able to get assistance from the Red Cross, but they had to pay every damn thing back.
Had to get clothes,
clothes and
they lost everything. Always left the house just a platform and one door
standing. I told you, 10 years of marriage over here. The oldest girl has got a gash all the way up the side of her leg. The mother threw herself with the youngest child, who was only about a year old, over.
Mm-hmm.
Over the big girl to protect her, but the big girl's leg was out, and she's just the scar to this day.
And trees were down, live trees.
Oh, the wires were all over the place.
Wires, animals.
Through the path.
The Harveys must have had animals lost.
Oh, sure.
Bob Harvey, he lives where he does now. Only there was an old house there. It was Hill's old house, and that all went.
Yeah, that was all.
And there was the house where they went, and the Quinn's girl house, and the Castings. All
took
that.
Took a long time to get back. I'm sure.
Just to clear up the rubble.
Oh, the rubble was something. It was like a bombing. You know, the mess that was left would remind you of the movies we'd seen, you know.
And then you had the flood in 55.
That was another beauty.
That was, but
two
now,
after.
I was trying to figure out, when you said there was a flood downtown, did that stay
that
for a
while?
Rain,
just from the rain.
Just from
the rain.
But did would that stay very long, the water?
You mean from the tornado?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was superficial. I mean, that took care of itself.
It's just like a heavy thunder shower.
Okay, because sometimes they had
55 though, because that
55.
Was
55. 6 feet of water and surge in the cellar for 2 weeks with constant pumping. That's just this house. The house across the street and the Baptist church. To see where we're at a low level here. My pictures fell off the walls. My clothes were mildewed in the closets. I'd evacuate my kids. He's up saving the reservoir.
That's right.
They're putting in the toll road there.
Tell a little bit about Ray about the reservoir again. That was all of Upton Road flooded. Did it go right across the road? And
they're afraid of the dikes were going to go with the reservoir. And they figured once it started to breach, then that flood of water would come right down through and wipe out everything coming down. And, you had that reservoir was overflowing.
So they built up. Sandbags around the outside of the reservoir?
They started sandbagging, and that wasn't doing too much, and then they got a hold of the fellas that were up in the toll road, and they started loading these big hunks of rock and stuff and brought them down and started putting them right against the bank and with earth and everything.
This was August 19th, they said.
August 19th.
Hurricane Carol, did you think
and they
it was?
I think it was Carol that came.
And wait a second, Ray, you did say something about the guys working at the toll road, building the toll road then, came from the south.
Yep.
And what did the newspaper say?
There was an article in there. In fact, I got the Cronkite somewhere, and it said, men from the north, men from the south, working shoulder to shoulder, men from the north and men from the south.
Working to save the reservoir and the guys from the toll road.
They were all rebels up there, and they all come down, they all were at work, when it hit, and they all brought the equipment down, the dozers and everything, the trucks there, and they smashed up trucks, one went into another, it would cost them, hundreds of dollars for a radiator alone. But they didn't have a chance.
On about the 18th of August of that same year, we were in the process of
a drought,
all right? And WKOX called him up and asked him if they could interview him for the radio program.
Because you were this.
And the most famous words, water superintendent, water and sewer superintendent. And the most famous words out of his mouth on the 18th of August, all we can do is pray for rain.
And
the fly said, don't ever be interviewed again.
All we
can do is pray for rain.
You got it. Okay, so then we had a flood. That was the 50s. And anything else you remember in the 50s? Korean War?
Well, 1954 we had a hurricane.
Yeah.
53 we had the tornado. 54 we had a hurricane. It wasn't very, it wasn't damaging, but it was a hurricane. 1955 we had the backlash of Carol. Which gave us
that thing
backtracked, That's why the flooding, it just changed its course and backtracked, and that's why all the damage from that one.
Now, do you remember?
Matter of fact, we had a series of hurricanes in the 50s. We had another one in 1957, if I remember correctly.
They really didn't amount to much.
But they weren't big ones,
And the town itself, now let's see, you still had supermarkets. Where would you go shopping and then? A&P?
We would go Tony's Market. Tony had a market up on Milk Street.
Where the hardware store is.
We'd shop at Tony's. You want the 50s for the markets. The A&P.
Okay.
The A&P over there. First National was gone by then.
Yeah, Leone's was over there.
Leone's Market,
where the Golden Rooster is.
Yeah.
Where the laundromat is now.
That was a Golden Rooster?
That was a barrel.
That was a barrel.
And the A&A used to be next door. It was another bathroom.
A lot of bathrooms in town.
It was.
Yeah, more bathrooms than anything else.
Okay. And then you would buy clothes at?
Herman's was there then.
Huh? Herman.
Herman's,
oh, yeah,
and Lodge. Herman. Lodge was still there.
Lodge has been there since time immemorial.
Okay, and the movie place was movie stage.
No, the movies were gone.
What was the bowling alley there?
The bowling alley on Milk Street.
Milk
where the chap is.
No, where Cal Corey was there, you know, where there's a. Paco was in there now, the kitchen supply and stuff.
Yeah.
It was Ma Meg's ran there, and of course the Bay State is the bowling alley and the recreation building down.
Did you go bowling at the Keating building too, or not?
No, you could, you know, if you
had
wanted
to
go
Bay
to the
Bay
State.
Bay State.
But anybody that did bowl, they'd go to Ma Meg's there on Milk Street.
Now, that was in the 50s too, and the 40s as well?
Yeah. Yeah. She had Ma Meg's, and they had a pool room upstairs.
Oh, all right. So that was a real place to hang around in Westboro, huh? That particular one. Not too much building. That's when the town began building up.
They started right.
Then as far as then as far as things like Chase Paper coming in,
that would take what till the 60s maybe.
Chase Paper came in. They were first up where the tape shop was up on Milk Street between where the cellar hole is now behind Village Lumber and Polyfilm.
Yeah.
That cellar hole. Chase Paper was in there first.
Yeah.
Then
before it was a cellar hole, hopefully.
Yeah, they tore it down. They tore the building down. Chase's did.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
I thought that one didn't burn.
No,
huh?
they tore that down. No,
okay.
They tore that down, and then they went down and they bought all that land from the state down there, and
on Oak Street.
On Oak Street, in Mrs. Bowman's property.
And that was. Do you know when that was? They went moved
that
over there.
That was in the '60s.
Okay. And that was one of the big, I'm trying to think of the big companies that came in.
Yeah.
Chase was one.
Yeah.
Bay State had been here for a long time.
Always.
Mass Electric came.
When did Mass Electric come? That was the 60s, I believe.
Yeah. Mass Electric.
Julio's came later.
Oh, yeah, Julio's.
70s.
Yeah,
and West Meadow Plaza in the early 70s, too.
Well, West Meadow was here before Julio's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
He's going to do some more building down there, you know.
In West Meadow or in
Julio's?
That's going to extend.
He's going to build out.
What was down there? There was trolley tracks way back a long time ago running along.
Lyman Street.
But
yeah, well, that house there right across from, they just tore it down, that house in the garage was the waiting room and stuff for the trolleys right there.
Where was that? Right on the corner? No.
It was right across from the main entrance going into Julio's now. You know the main entrance they put in now? So you drive in towards Caldor's. Well, right opposite that was a house and a garage there. Well, that roadway, as you drive in towards Caledonia now, was the old Boston Worcester. The Shell Oil Line and everything's underneath there. That was the old Boston Worcester trolley contract. And then, of course, they used to go down. Went down Lime Street. I remember the tracks on Lime Street. They went down Lake Chauncey. And
I'm just going to say that one thing she missed in the 30s, the big deal too, was to walk to Lake Chauncey to go swimming. Everybody in town was at Lake Chauncey. And they had
that
a roller rink down there. And
roller skating, dance hall, because I know the dance hall started way back in 1900 just about, because they kept that up.
Yeah, my folks went down there to dance, but we went down there as kids to roller skate.
And there was swimming, you said?
Oh,
and
yeah, every day we'd steal the apples on the way down, the way back.
What's his name had that in his book there, George Murphy?
Oh, yeah.
The movie actor. He wrote a book, and the name of the book is Say, aren't you George Murphy? Well, didn't you used to be charged with,
I don't know. Now, he
grew
up.
He used to live in Westboro.
He used to live here.
Down Flanders Road. Summers. His father was a coach.
His niece and I went to school together.
No. Oh, yeah.
Reggie Stone.
But he would just visit here, would he?
Yeah.
His father had a place on Flanders Road. His father was, I think, the track coach at Yale.
Okay.
George Murphy. He was getting on a plane one day, and a woman tapped on the shoulder and said, didn't you used to be George Murphy, and that's what he named his book.
Right, and he went to Chauncey. You say he went to Chauncey.
He told about being up here, and of course, and they'd have big celebrations over the 4th of July in those days, and what's his name, Honey Fitzgerald, was the mayor of Boston, he'd be out there awarding the prizes and stuff. You know, and And Murphy, you had it in there by where Leo Barber Shop was. Was Slip Sullivan ran the barber shop. You tell him about going in there for a haircut and everything to Slip Sullivan.
Yeah.
What a trade. They used to have, that was an organization. They used to have big times over the 4th of July.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. Okay, now what, we're back and trying to figure out when Westboro really started booming, really, in the 70s, I think.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
It did.
That's when everything,
all these
big industrials came in. And that
didn't Mass Electric more or less bring everything behind it?
Yeah, well, because down on Washington Street, that Alden was there. Well, there was a...
What's Alden? Alden is makes very instruments for playing. No,
that
weather.
Was there
for the
Mass
for the weather. You know, they had the
instrumentation.
The instrumentation and the paper and stuff that they
they've been there a long time.
Yeah, but first that they built that place. The McCarrys built that place. And it was a very nice home. Then they set the kid up in there, and they started manufacturing marshmallows in where they are now. There was Surfside marshmallows, I remember they had.
Down where Alden's
is
now,
yep.
Surfside marshmallows?
Yeah. McCarrys. That was a beautiful, he was a wool merchant.
C-A-R-E-Y? He was a, how did he get into marshmallows? Nobody knows.
Well, he set his kid up in the business, because he was trying to keep the kid calm down, so he set them up in the make what to make candy. So they went in the marshmallow business, Surfside marshmallow.
When was this? What years?
Oh God, this was back in the late
40s.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Oh sure, Eddie McCary.
Because I didn't get out and around as much.
They've been there a long time. Then,
so then Alden came in.
Then
there?
Alden came in after that.
Came into that same.
Yep. Same
marshmallow
that place. Yep. They bought all that land. And
so that must have been in the '50s, huh?
Yeah.
See, they've got that land. They've got 100 acres right there, all down through there. You
that
know.
That was in the '50s.
Running from Route 9 back
yeah.
to Flanders. And
yeah, all the way down by 495 there.
And that's now all getting built up by technology
yeah.
and everything else. So when you grew up, though, you remember Westboro was a quiet town?
Oh, very.
About 5,000, 7,000 people?
I don't think it was that many, but it stayed very...
The only to-do that you would have in Westboro back when we were growing up is to have a couple of guys have too much to drink uptown. But there was none of this stealing and, oh, the kids were raising the Dickens on
Halloween
night and
sure.
stuff, you know. But
sure.
there was never, I don't remember, you know, because we had the Lyman School was very active then. And I think...
Yeah. How did people get involved in the Lyman School? I know that...
Oh, there was a lot of local people working up there. You know, they'd have a husband and wife, you know, in the cottages.
They were master and matrons.
Master and matrons of them. A lot of
We used to be able to go up and use the swimming pool and the gym up there. We used to always go up there and play basketball and jump in the pool.
But I think the Lyman School would put the fear of God, you know, in the kids. Because I don't remember. You know, you could walk the streets any time of the night. You know, there was never any... You know, now you're afraid to walk to on your own street to the corner.
I still do.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you...
The 4th of July was always a big time
sure.
in town. Down at where the field was, down back at the community house, way off the back corner, it'd be down near where the Bay State Boiler Room is now. They'd take and they'd get the ties and they'd fill that thing as high as they could go and have a bonfire. They'd fill that with ivy.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
They'd have a carnival that week, you know. And they'd have a high dive act and everything. They always had a big celebration of 4th.
What about the Speedway now? The Speedway went in, you say?
46, 47, that's that. It's been there ever since.
And it mostly out-of-town people? Or were there quite a few Westboro people racing?
No, there was nobody.
No, there was nobody from Westboro racing.
When they first started, it was like the midgets and stuff like that. Real, you know, good drivers and stuff like that.
People like him and others like him, special cops, you know, worked up there.
Cops and stuff.
We'd go up there selling poppies for Memorial Day, things like that.
But the town itself didn't get too much involved.
No, they wanted to put the